As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Our markets are rattled. America's savings are on the line. The American people, your savings, your pocketbook are directly impacted by this stunt. It doesn't have to be this way. My Republican friends need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy. If they don't want to do the job, just get out of the way.
My whole thing is all turned around. Everything's different. Welcome to the radio show, the nationally syndicated radio before television show. It's good to see you. Dana Lash here. Good to be with you. All right. So a number of things that we've been following. If you sign up to the newsletter, as always, we send good stuff out. But first and foremost, I want to know what in the Truman Show hell is going on in the White House. So I have poll numbers to go through and I have all this other important stuff. And also to get into the whole situation with Hunter Biden, et cetera, et cetera. But have you guys seen this? The set? I'm actually looking at another picture of it. It is the, I don't know where this is. This is not like the press room.
It's getting a lot of use.
Well, this is not like the press room for the White House, you know, where they all like go and they get their questions, press questions, all this stuff. I don't know what this is, but it's a fake set. And he's held fake, like, well, actually real meetings in the fake set. I don't know where this is. It's across from the real White House in the South Court Auditorium of the Eisenhower Executive Office Building.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they say. This is where he also got his booster, his multiple boosters that he got. Mm-hmm. He got his booster shot here. He also got a number of other things. They've had some press events here, all of this. So I don't know. The Truman Show presidency is what it's being called. It's just a set. It's a set. And I mean, he's got the whole press room right across the dang street. So what's the point of this? Anyway, I was thinking of this when I was reading some of these polling numbers. Quinnipiac polls, their polling numbers are out. It's awful. He's not doing well. Although I think the House, we have a chance with the House. The Senate, I think, is going to be a lot tougher. And you have Republicans making stupid moves, like in states like Missouri, etc. But the Quinnipiac poll is bad. And I was looking at some of this. We're going to go through it because this is a lot. And when you have people like Terry McAuliffe trying to run away from him in Virginia, and that's a bellwether state. That's considered a bellwether state. So, I mean, by and large, people really do not like the president. They don't like him at all. And that's a major problem, especially if he wants to. I mean, for him, for us, I like it. But the polling is bad. The RCP average is really bad. I think they have it even lower at 44.6%. That's the RCP average and taking all of the latest data and putting it together. But, I mean, it is a huge margin, 56 to 41, where you have Americans of all stripes that say he lacks leadership skills. It's still, I think, pretty, it still goes pretty much along, party lines. But when you look at independents, it's 32-60. Now, who do I always say, who wins, who are the people who sway elections? It's independents. That's 3260. That's a gap. That's you can't. That's unrecoverable. There's no way to get over that. No way. So this is it's bad, and it doesn't help that he's like doing this stuff out of this weird little set. I don't get it. I think it just everybody questions who in the hell's running the show here. So we've got, and there's some other polling too that we're going to get into. Also, with coronavirus, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Axios has a piece, one of, where they say the White House says that companies and institutions with vaccine mandates have seen vaccination rates jump 20 points in many instances over to 90%. And they say that oh yes, this means that the mandates work. No, this is coercion. This is what happens when you have coercion. Coercion's effective. Let's not act like we're shocked over this. So they've been coercing Americans to do this, and Americans being forced to pick between a paycheck or getting this idiotic, dumbass injection. And I'm going to call it that. And if you get mad about it, just go to hell. I'm done. I watched Dave Chappelle last night, too. We're going to talk about that. I'm about to, like, if you watch JoJo, my stand is a giant middle finger that just squishes people. I finally figured out what I want that to be, too, Kane, because we had this big conversation as to what would your stand be. I want it to be a giant middle finger that shoots bullets right out of the tip of the finger. That's what I want. I would like that. All right, so this, because it's called coercion, it's exactly what it's called. I have a couple of other things here for you, too, as it relates to that, because there's a couple of updates with some of the vaccine stuff, the Moderna. So in Finland, Sweden, and Denmark, they've stopped usage of it right now. They've suspended Moderna, the vaccine, in younger age groups over myocarditis concerns. I just remember when I would bring that up, because I have boys, and my oldest son fits right into this demo, right? And I had questions related to that, because there's some other things that's just not anybody's business. So I had questions related to that. And it's amazing to me how I have all these ballless dudes on social media who don't have kids because they can't convince a woman to take one for the team and lay with them, that want to lecture me about my kids and my kids' health and going and getting this vaccine. I don't recall asking a desperate beta. And if I did, they'll be the first people I go to, but I didn't. They suspended them, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, because under 30 in Sweden, under 18 in Denmark, because of signals of increased risk of side effects like inflammation of the heart muscle, myocarditis. That's a big deal. A lot of us have had questions about this, but we were told, just shut up and get it. There's no concern. You're just making this. Everything's been answered. Really? Tell me what the answer of these still ongoing studies are then, geniuses. Go ahead. I'm just not going to be prevailed upon to go and get an injection just because it's going to make somebody else feel better. What is it? There was a really great, everything's all backwards here. I got to reorganize my, there was a really great soundbite from this one mother. She was fantastic. This mother who was speaking out at a school board. She was speaking out at a school board event. And I thought it was so great. And I had retweeted it because she was saying, look, you can't have, and she's a retired nurse in California. She's like, the protected are demanding that the unprotected protect the protected by getting the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place. Listen to this. This is great.
Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place?
That's so great. Yeah. Amen. That's so great. I love it. Love it. Love it. So she's absolutely right. She's absolutely 1,000% correct. I think she's absolutely right. And that's true. So in this, they said that there was in rare instances, one of the things that, this is what Reuters was discussing. They were saying, yeah, it's still small, but it potentially outweighs the extremely small risk of COVID in those age groups. That's the whole point. You could have a small risk of myocarditis, but if it still outweighs the small risk of someone in those age groups getting coronavirus in the first place, who are you to sit here and demand that these groups go ahead and get this injection? I love this. This is like a virtue signaling thing. Everybody's got to get the mark. They said that these authorities they're going to further investigate. Imagine that. Before they decide to force anybody to do anything, they're going to further investigate. Imagine if we did that here in the United States. Amazing. They said anti-inflammatory medication can reduce the blah, blah, blah. But I think everybody needs to make a determination about their and have their own risk assessment. But it is. It's coercion. Absolutely, it's coercion. And so, I don't know what the long-term... We don't have any long-term anything on this. I watched a video today of a UCLA anesthesiologist who was escorted out because he would not get the injection. And I've heard of people like this who already had it and they have natural immunity, but yet they are still marched right out because they didn't get the injection, which is dumb to me because I thought the whole purpose of this was to transfer immunity. So if they have it, they had it already. They have antibodies. I mean, I can't believe we have to explain the science to people over and over again. These people don't care about the virus. They don't care about limiting fatalities. They don't care about any of this. This is all about control at this point, because if they cared about any of the actual fatalities and they cared about the pain and suffering of people, et cetera, all the stuff that they make this whole grifting cottage industry off of claiming, if they really believed all of this stuff, then they would allow for things like natural immunity, people who are hesitant or who have health conditions where they absolutely cannot take it. I was reading a story about a woman whose son's a cancer survivor. Her elementary school son survived cancer. He cannot get the injection. His doctors are like, oh my gosh, no. The state is saying if their kid wants to go to school anywhere, he's got to have this injection. They don't include any kind of exceptions like this. These people are evil. That's evil. No exceptions at all whatsoever. You know why? This is why the polling's reflecting the way that it is. This is why this polling reflects this way. This is exactly why. It reflects this way because people are mad. They're fed up. They don't want to be told that they don't have any authority over their kids. They don't want to be gaslit about natural immunity. They don't give a rat's backside about any of this. They want to live their lives and just be good people and be left alone themselves. But unfortunately, that's not being allowed. We're going to talk more about this, including a couple of other things coming up. We're going to get into, I have more polling as well. And Virginia, I think, very much is a bellwether state. We'll discuss that. Wokery, because now they're going after Hollywood actresses who will not either get the vaccine or who just simply say that this is something that's a personal decision that people should make. And I read this piece that says Hollywood's tearing itself apart. Good. But they can't sit here and act like it's a bunch of Trump people anymore, because you have all kinds of people stepping out on this. So their narrative is completely destroyed. What are they going to do now? We're going to talk about that coming up. The vax bullies. The virus vax bullies. Also, the administration says you have to pay more for gas because all the polar bears are going to die last year. We'll talk about that. Marxist, the apparent attempt to force rationing. And we got a million other things. We're also going to talk to Missouri Senator Josh Hawley coming up, so you don't want to miss any bit of the program today. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app, weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yep, and you would probably miss it if we didn't discuss it. So, I think this is stupid. First, it's stupid to do this, but it's also stupid to arrest this person. So the headline is, a black college student was arrested after allegedly posting a fake racist frat party invite that read no blacks. So this 19-year-old James Daniel Edwards, he was booked at Pitt County Jail for a cyber stalking charge. I don't know why it was a cyber stalking charge, but it was he was arrested for a fake racist fraternity frat party invite. So why? That's stupid. I don't care. So is it? It's either protected speech or it's unprotected speech. This is so stupid. I mean, if we're going to sit, look, violence, speech is not violence. Words aren't violence. I mean, yes, the dude's a moron and probably a racist himself. But to arrest somebody? It's so dumb. This, so, I hate everything. You should too. That's so dumb that we're doing this to people now. Good grief. All right. So Los Angeles is not going to require coronavirus vaccinations for movie theaters, concerts, and restaurants. They say the order impacts numerous indoor venues. Man, they're really going to just tank everything again, aren't they? They're going to take effect in early November. So right in time for the Christmas season. Have fun. Have fun with that. This is awful. I feel bad for people there. You need to leave. Go to a red state, but not Texas unless you're going to vote Republican because we don't have time for you. Also, it's true. I'm not being mean. 2020 saw the largest spike in homicides in 100 years. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad stuff. Also, America's trust in media has fallen by 4 points. I didn't realize that we had 4 points to spare. It's the lowest since 2016, according to a new poll. They say that 34% say they have zero trust at all whatsoever in media. I would be amongst that 34%. There are really no exceptions. I know. I'm actually surprised it's not bigger than that. That's kind of, I'm really disappointed. I'm disappointed in America right now because it wasn't bigger. Let's see here. The administration has released data on our nuclear stockpile. It's down 90% since the Cold War, which I'm not happy about. Governors, because you know why? Because you don't want to ever have, we need diversification of nuclear capability. And this is the one thing I agree with James Mattis on. You shouldn't just have like 0 to 10, right? You need to diversify your nuclear portfolio so that you actually have a better chance at negotiating peace. That's how this works. So that's why I'm disappointed by it. Governors descend on the Texas border and reveal a plan to do what Biden will not about the border crisis. So a number of governors from across the country are gathering in Mission, Texas. They unveiled yesterday a 10-point plan to end the border crisis. There are a number of these governors coming out to this. They said that it was, well, not just Abbott, but also Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts, Ohio's Mike DeWine, Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, and Mark Gordon of Wyoming. They have a 10-point plan to basically stop the border crisis. And it includes all things that I'm sure the Biden administration will totally sue them over. So coming up, the Attorney General has a conflict of interest, surprise, surprise, with critical race theory and Facebook. We'll discuss that. Plus, a Facebook whistleblower is meeting with the January 6th committee. Why? We'll have that as well as some Rona stuff. Stick with us. Hey there. We have a new sponsor that I am really excited about, Bonner Wines. If you enjoy wine as much as I do, then you need to try Extreme Altitude Malbec from Argentina. They make it up at these remote vineyards at 9,000 feet. These things are miles from civilization. And the result is this inky red wine. You stare into this thing, and it's like looking at your soul. They're also healthier than the other wines, with 10 times more longevity-boosting resveratrol and 90% less sugar. Ladies, no dyes, no flavor additives. Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is that you're not paying these inflated prices that the traditional big box wine makes you pay. There is no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. And Dana Show listeners will get 50% off of the wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
The job of the Justice Department is to address criminal conduct.
You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them. You are attempting to silence them. You are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents and, yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong. This is dangerous. And I cannot believe that an Attorney General of the United States is engaging in this kind of conduct. And frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions. You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject. We need to hear from the Attorney General himself. He needs to come here, take the oath, sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say, I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
He's right. Although the one place I will disagree with Senator Josh Hawley here is I can believe it.
Yeah.
These people are tyrants. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Merrick Garland is a bitter little man who's mad that he wasn't good enough to get on the Supreme Court. And so now he's going to take it out on everybody by defecating in the DOJ's office. That's what it is, in the AG's office, the DOJ. That's exactly what it is. Oh, don't bat an eyelash because people think that I'm being mean. Oh, Dana, you're too harsh. Is it? You let me know if it's harsher than sending the FBI after parents for simply disagreeing, as is their right, with the garbage that they were trying to pass as education in their kids' schools. Just go ahead and let me know if you think it's harsher than that. I mean, I'm not actually going to listen. It's rhetorical. I'm just saying. It's also ridiculous. I'm not surprised. It's who these people are. These people crave power. They wake up every single day thinking, how can I get more power? How can I have more power? How is this going to happen? How can I make this work? It's quite simple. That's all they do every day and day in and day out. No, Merrick Garland is he's a bitter, angry little dude. He really is. I mean, this is no lie. He's a bitter, angry dude. And the left is bitter and angry. Remember, they kept saying, oh, you're somehow stealing someone's seat, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever that's supposed to mean. Although the Senate did its job. They did their absolute job. They did what they were supposed to do. So, a couple of things here as it relates to this issue. Apparently, he's got a conflict of interest. Pretty big bad one, too. Now, I was looking at just some of the headlines on this a little earlier because apparently his conflict of interest concerns critical race theory and this idea that the publishers and the people who are behind pushing this in schools. Asra Nomani, who's with Parents Defending Education, said that the company in which Garland's daughter is involved, she's married to the co-founder of Panorama Education. Panorama Education is funded by Mark Zuckerberg. And so they were actually diverting cash to this company. And it was the Fairfax schools. They were diverting COVID cash to Panorama Education to data mine kids. And of course, the AG's daughter is married to the co-founder. Yes, married to the co-founder of Panorama Education. They get to profit from this because this also challenges data mining of K-12 students. Now, Fairfax County Public Schools, Nomani writes, signed off on a nearly $2 million contract with Panorama Education. It's a Boston-based big tech contractor. They wanted to look at, for over a period of several years, social and emotional learning. They wanted to have a screener that gave them the right to collect psychometrics on the school district's 180,000 students with very invasive questions, like if they feel sad or gender fluid. And the Panorama Education staff got status as school officials so that they could claim right to private student data under federal law. And this was proven in an email that was sent by Fairfax County School District. Yeah. It was a federal law that Garland would have to enforce, and now big tech can circumvent. Deborah Scott, who is the Director of Intervention and Prevention Services at Fairfax County Public Schools, wrote, FCPS, talking about the school, is permitted under the law to share student data with outside vendors who meet the criteria of the school official exception under the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Third parties who are considered school officials are permitted to receive student data absent parent consent. So that means parents do not get to be involved in any of this screening, any of the data mining that is funded by Mark Zuckerberg and ran by a critical race theory supporters, which is basically what they push too with Panorama Education. And then they have ties with the AG, Merrick Garland. And this isn't the only school district that they've been signing contracts with. Panorama Education's been signing contracts with school boards across the country. And so they said that they've been exploiting new growth projects. Don't you think that this is a major, major, major conflict of interest?
Yep.
Now, there were some reports about how the Panorama Education of Fairfax County Public Schools, their deal that they have. And interestingly enough, Merrick Garland's daughter, Rebecca Garland, is married to Alexander Newman Tanner. And Tanner is a co-founder of Panorama Education. Garland's family is actually personally profiting off of the business decisions of school boards. Panorama Education wants to push out parents. Garland supports that. He is defending it using government agencies. And guess who benefits financially from it? His daughter. This is a huge conflict of interest. Remember when people were demanding that for the recusal of all of these different Republican officials, etc.? Okay, well, I would imagine this is a pretty dang big recusal, don't you think so? To me, that's pretty significant. By the way, Merrick Garland was sold to everybody as being super moderate. Remember that? He was never moderate. We all knew that. Now, as it relates to the national school boards, y'all have to forgive my Portuguese. I'm not asking for forgiveness for my Portuguese. In fact, I don't care. I don't want it. AP fact check. They had this piece that published 23 hours ago. I retweeted it with something I can't say on air because I'm done. My courtesy pretty much peters out by 10 a.m. Contrary to false claims, writes Associated Press in their quote-unquote fact check, contrary to false claims circulating online, the National School Boards Association didn't ask President Joe Biden to label protesting parents as domestic terrorists, and there's no indication that Biden or the Justice Department called them terrorists either. This is what the AP stated. So I wrote, retweeted, I said, simply put, this is bull hockey, which is not what I said. To demand that POTUS classify parents' justified criticism and activism as a form of quote-unquote domestic terrorism is to label them as quote-unquote domestic terrorists. I will read from you page 2 of the National School Boards Association's letter in which they were begging the Biden administration to label parents as domestic terrorists. Not only that, but also to invoke the use of the Patriot Act in order to do so. It's in the first sentence, second graph, page 2. As these acts, quote, as these acts of malice, violence, and threats against public school officials have increased, the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. As of such, NSBA requests a joint expedited review by the DOJ, the Department of Education, Homeland Security, along with appropriate training, coordination, investigations, enforcement mechanisms from the FBI, including technical assistance from state and local, with the National Security Branch and Counterterrorism Division, as well as any other federal agency with relevant jurisdictional authority. So, yes, they were demanding that the administration classify and investigate parents' justified activism and criticism as a form of domestic terrorism. This is absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, if men can be women, this sure as hell can be them calling them domestic terrorists. Your logic. Garbage. They're trying so hard to deny because now they realize they've overplayed their hand and they have the Associated Press weighing in. They're going to try to appeal to their propagandists. But here's the problem. They're wrong. I mean, they have it in a letter. It's in a letter. Now, I have no idea why this is, but the Facebook employee, she's not a whistleblower because Facebook wasn't involved in any kind of illegality. Facebook, yes, they're a bunch of lefty stooges, for sure. I mean, I probably can speak louder about this and probably have more personal I don't know, experience with this, and somebody who's never been occasionally demonetized or suppressed or shadow banned or throttled or suspended on social media, including Facebook from time to time, then I probably have a little bit more experience in that issue than someone who hasn't. So as a result, I really have a hell of a lot more grounding to say, yes, shut Facebook down, et cetera, et cetera. But however, I'm a consistent person when it comes to free speech and expression. And Frances Haugen, the non-whistleblower, because Facebook wasn't engaged in anything other. Douchebaggery is not illegal, okay? Being a D-bag is not illegal. If it was, dang, I don't think anybody would be safe. She's not a whistleblower. She's just a low-level D-bag who doesn't think that Facebook is leftist enough. She is meeting. She's met with the House committee that is investigating the January 6th skirmish at the Capitol. And it's not, I hate that they use the word attack. Attacker. Yeah, you had some people rioting. But there were more people who were there, vastly more, for a peaceful protest than the people who broke away to riot. And the thing is that they got a harsher punishment, and there was the involvement of the FBI. Meanwhile, everyone else just sort of shrugged as Antifa and BLM burned down buildings. So I really am not here to listen to the left try to act like they have any place of authority on this. I'm not here to listen to it. It's that noise doesn't count. But why is this chick meeting with this committee? She doesn't have any special insight. She was a low-level button pusher. She was a nobody in this company. They just decided to use her affiliation with Facebook as a way to stage theater to argue for a government takeover of social media. Before she even came out, chick had a verified Twitter account. We can't even get the Dana Radio Show Twitter account verified. But this chick, because she works with Obama's former deputy press secretary and all the right Marxists in Washington, D.C., girlfriend can have a verified Twitter account. She can go before, she can sit here and do a 60-minute special. And then 2 days later, miraculously, there's a Senate hearing already scheduled. And then the next day she goes and meets with the January 6th committee. Don't tell me that this isn't all planned, because it is. We all know that. And no reason why. She doesn't bring any specific insight. She's not a philosopher. She's not an influencer. She has no specific, but like that wouldn't count anyway, but she has no specific insight into any of this. None at all whatsoever. Meanwhile, the FBI came up completely empty-handed when they were trying to make this huge argument. And believe me, they tried. Oh man, you know they tried. Jonathan Turley had a really good piece saying that the beginning of wisdom, I like this first line, the beginning of wisdom is to call things by their proper names. That's it. Like how you can say how child care is infrastructure. No, it's not. Pay for your own kids. Same is true with all of this other stuff. I love the piece that he had, because he said they couldn't just let it be a small riot. It had to be an insurrection. It had to be an attack. It had to be et cetera, et cetera. There have been more armed people at Antifa and BLM riots than there was none at January 6th, but whatever. It wasn't sedition. No one was going to be overthrown. And they said that because it was a protest allowed to turn into a riot, then why didn't they properly protect the Capitol? They can sit here and blame it on everybody they want to, but the bottom line is that I think people allowed it to get out of control, and there were some people who decided that they wanted to act like stooges. But it's not, it's to sit here and say it was an insurrection, etc. But there was a good piece that he had, because the FBI came up completely empty-handed. See, if the FBI is not involved in staging it, they don't have any evidence. Like, I don't know, the planned attack of Whitmer. I mean, hell, maybe there were some involved in January 6th. At this point, I'm convinced anything after I saw those stooges that were at the last rally a couple of weeks ago. They all walked into Vineyard Vines and they got the same version of the shorts and shirts. One dude forgot to switch out his black socks that matched his little FBI Men in Black suit. And they're all standing there with their same agency-issued watches and their same agency cuts and their same agency sunglasses. I mean, hell, I felt like I was looking at Men in Black 3, where they were trying to fit in and doing so miserably, failing at it. Coming up, we got some desperate media. Vaccine bullies are now going after. I like this girl. I like this girl because she said she did an interview at one point. This was after she was in the first Black Panther. And she said that she felt like she was getting too big for her britches, so she needed to take time away to humble herself. And I loved her self-awareness. I always really had highest respect for this actress, Letitia Wright. And now, she said on the set of Wakanda Forever, she had expressed some hesitancy and skepticalness about the vaccine. So, of course, you got snitches that are trying to rat her out. And now it's a big thing. She parted ways with her U.S. team of reps, and now they're doing a witch hunt. We'll talk about the virus vax bullies and their modern-day witch hunts. Never ends, does it? With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. So my friend. I'm so glad I'm not on Nextdoor. What the hell's wrong with these people? I had something in here, but I gotta... What was I talking about? This, just bear with me. I was talking about some wokery over the racist Karen costume. We'll get to that. But I gotta... how many of y'all are on Nextdoor? Are you on Nextdoor? You're on Nextdoor? Why?
What do you mean?
Well,
there's a lot you can learn about your neighborhood being on Nextdoor.
I don't want to learn about nobody. I don't care. I just want to be left alone. You would like to watch people? I don't care about no bobcats in people's yards or nothing.
I'm informed and entertained, and I'm not apologizing.
Okay. Yes, I appreciate that about you. So apparently there's like a fight. A friend of mine sent me this. There's like a fight on Nextdoor where they apparently, it says your activity as a Nextdoor lead. Like that you can have a lead status on Nextdoor. Did you not know that? I didn't know that either. Steve, are you on Nextdoor? I can't. It just, to me, no offense if you are. I just, in my limited experience with it, it looks like a Karen, Digital Karen Association. But they're fighting because apparently they don't like what this person liked and they're jeopardizing their lead status. Man, people are horrible. Stay with us. Let's make fun of them. Hey there. We have a new sponsor that I am really excited about. Bonner Wines. If you enjoy wine as much as I do, then you need to try Extreme Altitude Malbec from Argentina. They make it up at these remote vineyards at 9,000 feet. These things are miles from civilization. And the result is this inky red wine. You stare into this thing, and it's like looking at your soul. They're also healthier than the other wines, with 10 times more longevity-boosting resveratrol and 90% less sugar. Ladies, no dyes, no flavor additives. Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is that you're not paying these inflated prices that the traditional big box wine makes you pay. There is no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. And Dana Show listeners will get 50% off of the wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
She said gender was a fact. And then the trans community got mad. They started calling her a TERF. I didn't even know what that was. But I know that trans people make up words to win arguments. So I looked it up. TERF is an acronym. Stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists. This is a real thing. This is a group of women that hate transgender. They don't hate transgender women, but they look at trans women the way we blacks might look at blackface. It offends them. Like, ooh, this bitch is doing an impression of me. I'm Team TERF.
Oh, man. This is one of my, that's my favorite moment from the Chappelle special, The Closer. I watched it last night. I got some thoughts. We'll talk about it. Welcome to a show where we share opinions. It's not for the weak. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for my newsletter. I don't have no big, we don't have no big giant companies or anything behind. I mean, we are just who we are. We're here with you, down in it, where you are. And man, one of my favorite things to do is whenever I'm watching these things, I always like to look at the audience reaction. And there were some lines that he had in there where people were, I mean, there were a couple of points where I went, oh my gosh. And it's really hard to shock me. I mean, I get disgusted, but to shock me is really hard. And one of his first opening jokes, have you seen it yet, Kane?
Not yet.
Oh, dude, I won't give nothing away except that part. But one of his first openings, I mean, and it was hysterical because when you looked at the audience, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know. This is how bad everything is. It's so politically correct. They didn't know. They're like, it's funny, but should we laugh? Like, is it bad to laugh? Is it bad that what he just said is hysterical? Oh my gosh. And the camera, like right when he said it, and I think they did this on purpose. I would love to know whether or not he like has a part in the production in that, aside from creating the content. I would love to know, because right after he was sharing, right after he told his joke, and it was kind of a long setup, then the camera immediately went to the audience, and you could see people, like their heads were about to shoot off their necks up into the stratosphere because they were holding it in. So they wanted to laugh their heads off, but they were so torn about it. For a few seconds, everything was laid out. I always like these cultural measures like this. And I've told you, and a dear friend of mine has always told everybody, politics is all downstream from culture. And the reason I bring this up, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute, is like for the situation with the vaccine stuff. The left is trying to navigate all these NBA players and hip-hop artists and models and everybody else coming out disagreeing with their narrative. Holy cow, they needed these cultural influencers. And now they got to, what are you going to do? You're going to fight them and then be chance to be called a sexist or a racist or whatever? They're having to navigate some tough ground. This is my favorite from that soundbite. And there's, you know, it's comedy. It's Chappelle. This is not like Dora the Explorer, where the worst thing that's going to happen is Swiper's going to swipe something. I mean, it's, you know, maybe not for everybody. But that part was so good. And I have never, as somebody who works with words, I have not heard anyone put it so bluntly like that. That resonated so hard. That is what it feels like. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if somebody wants to do them. But it's when they force me to alter my perception and my belief and everything else, that's when it feels like you're forcing me to accept you're in woman face. That's what he's saying. And when he said that, I mean, man, that just struck a chord. You could hear the strings getting plucked. Man, that is it. That is exactly it. And the whole audience, one of the things that I think is so good about a lot of the stuff that he said there and previously, and get over for 1 minute, put aside the politics and put aside, you know, stuff he said previously about race or whatever. And I think he jokes with half of that. But that was something that resonated in a different way with every single person in that audience. Every single person in that audience. And that's hard to do. That all hit them all at once, all in different ways. And they all had the, yes, reaction. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Okay, he goes, I didn't even know what a TERF was, but I know that trans people make up words to win arguments. I'm team TERF. I can't tell you how many times I've been called a TERF. Yeah, okay. What of it? Team TERF. Yeah, it was right. His routine was less of a comedy show and more of, it was almost a reckoning. My husband and I have very different takes on this. And I do think at times it felt like he was trying to make everybody who's mad at him happy. And I don't like to see powerful people in cultural positions being put to that point. Because I just, and the only reason they are is because not enough people are standing up for him. There were some jokes that he said I didn't like, but, and that's the brilliance of it. This is why South Park was so popular. South, you don't know what they're going to do. They hate everybody. They will make fun of everybody. I appreciate that. Because I think everybody, there should be no sacred cow in culture. There should be no sacred cow in society. Whoever you cannot make fun of is a person controlling you. Everybody, there's an equal opportunity to be ridiculed. Everybody has something for which they can be made fun of. Every group, every person, it doesn't matter. And that it even has to be explained is crazy. But that's one of the brilliant things about South Park. Man, I'll never forget. What was it? Who got mad at them? Oh, they did Tom Cruise in a closet. Wasn't it that? And then Isaac Hayes got mad because he was the chef. And he got mad at them. And then they just totally poked fun at him. There was no sacred cows with that, any of that. Whether or not you like it or not, you got to be grateful for those people holding it down. You have to have people that push that boundary to hold that line. And I think he was exactly right here. Now, like I said, I think there were parts where there were parts where I felt like he was kind of getting ready to bend the knee a little bit. And it, you know, you got to watch it. I'm not going to give it away. But this part here, that was amazing. That's what it felt like. Oh my gosh, people are so mad. They're so mad over that. He's a great storyteller. He had a good storyteller about somebody who he had a good story about somebody who opened for him. But this kind of gets into what, you know, we've been talking about. The wokery. I read this piece that said Dave Chappelle is criticized for defending J.K. Rowling in a new Netflix special. Audio soundbite 16. This is what they're talking about. Listen to this.
I'm Team Turf. I agree, man. Gender is a fact. You have to look at it from a woman's perspective. Look at it like this. Caitlyn Jenner, whom I've met, wonderful person. Caitlyn Jenner was voted Woman of the Year. Her first year as a woman. Ain't that something? Beat every bitch in Detroit. She's better than all of you. Gender is a fact. This is a fact. Every human being in this room, every human being on Earth, had to pass through the legs of a woman to be on Earth. That is a fact.
True. And he was talking about J.K. Rowling. He's like, they tried to cancel her. He's right. He's right. And so now Dave Chappelle is criticized for defending J.K. Rowling. And his comments drew a swift backlash. As a trans, like one person said, as a trans woman, I usually have defended Dave Chappelle specials because I think they're hilarious. And his jokes about trans women never felt intentionally malicious. Intentionally malicious? Really? It's a comedy show. Get over yourself. You are not special. I thought he made a great point, though. He said, don't abort the baby, which I lost it. I fell out when he said that. So DaBaby had said some stuff. If you don't know him, he's an artist. He had said some stuff about homosexuality, whatever. He's got a very interesting past. And he says whatever comes to his head. Dave Chappelle's like, this dude shot another dude in Walmart. And you're going to get more upset over he hurt a gay person's feelings? What is the matter with you? He's not wrong. Holy cow. You can murder somebody in a Walmart. Well, that's tough. He shouldn't have done that. But if you say something that hurts a gay person's feelings, then the society loses their mind. He made some great points about this. And it's true. So, oh my gosh, people are mad. Got to cancel him. Got to cancel Dave Chappelle, apparently. I don't know. But he has blank you money, just like J.K. Rowling does, too. It's never going to happen. So Deadline Hollywood said GLAAD and the LGBTQ community. The community thing, what is that? Why is everybody a community? He made a point about
this. Sounds like there's solidarity. That's why they say it.
He was talking about somebody who opened for him, and he was like, no, she's my people. Talking about this person. This person, he is my people. Not yours. That isn't something Jordan Peterson said, too, about dividing everybody up in these little groups and how you identify with them. That's actually inherently bigoted, which is true. But I don't understand. Yeah, the community thing. Solidarity for what? Like community. It's like they have, like, you have your own zip code and post office. Like, what is that? Stop. Everybody's just people. So this gets to my point of the vax bully thing here, too. This particular, the COVID vax bully. Letitia Wright, I said yesterday, she's done nothing wrong, and these virus vax bullies and their witch hunts are ridiculous. So they're trying to go after her. I like this woman. I like her because right after the first Black Panther came out, she plays the younger sister who's like the science whiz. After that came out, she was like, basically what she said was, I'm getting too big for my britches and I need to take a step out and reevaluate, you know, my reality and, you know, become humble. And I mean, she's very careful and very, and I like her. And so apparently on the set, she was expressing her own viewpoint about the vaccine. Well, my gosh, unless you're like, Tom Cruise demanding that everybody shut everything down or whatever, unless you have complete and total fealty to the narrative, then that's it. Then it's all, you must be sacrificed. The narrative is more important than anything. Crazy. They just need to stop all this. It's all nonsense. We have more on the way, including Sarah Silverman's a moron. Let's see what else we got. With Democrats, desperate media. Here's this. I'm going to leave this for you to think about here while we talk about the people that bring you free radio. The New York Magazine, here's their headline. Anybody fighting Joe Biden is helping Trump's next coup. All Republican politics is now functionally authoritarian. We're going to talk about that. I just wanted to lay that out there so you could go, what? And get all that out of your system before we start. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a federal judge has blocked enforcement of Texas's abortion law. That action by U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman in Austin prevents the state from effectively enforcing that six-week law. And the litigation over the legality continues. So there was also a response to that from the attorney general of the state. In fact, just this morning, Texas AG Ken Paxton confirmed they appealed the decision blocking the ban, saying, quote, we disagree with the decision and have already taken steps to appeal it to the Fifth Circuit, talking about sanctity of life, its top priority, etc. So that's going to be going back and forth, back and forth. There's got to be a mole in the CIA. Like, I was reading this headline. I'm like, sounds like y'all got a mole. CIA sounds alarm over the capture and killing of dozens of informants, according to a report that was published Tuesday in the New York Times. The CIA has called on its frontline spies to step up their operational security around the world after dozens of informants were arrested, killed, or otherwise compromised in just the past several years. A cable sent last week from top U.S. counterintelligence officials to every agency, station, and base included the exact number of human sources arrested or executed by rival services, a detail that's typically a closely guarded secret. The document lays several issues at the feet of case officers responsible for recruiting new informants performance, including poor tradecraft, underestimating the counter-intel prowess of foreign agencies, and focusing on recruitment without paying proper attention to potential risks. Dang, that was a lot. It fascinates me how the New York Post have a picture of a guy's mopping the seal, the floor, that says Central Intelligence Agency, like their tile floor in the foyer. I thought that was fascinating. A deaf man was arrested for a sign language death threat. Never knew this was a possibility. A man was jailed for allegedly threatening the life of a woman, transmitted in a menacing message in sign language via video text. Now, the video element, that's something else. But I can't imagine, it's expression, so yeah, I would assume. Coming up next, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley joins us. The DOJ versus parents. Stick it with us. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra-soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Well, let me unravel this a little bit, because the National School Board Association is not a part of the U.S. government. I'd point you to them. What the Department of Justice said in a letter from the Attorney General is that, quote, threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values. That is true. These were threats against public servants, threats against members of the school board. Regardless of the reasoning, threats and violence against public servants is illegal. That's what he was conveying from the.
Well, and that's, of course, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki. And they keep going on vaguely about these vague threats. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Vague threats, very vague. I would think that you would have police reports with something like that, wouldn't you? For this, on this issue, because it's really the DOJ versus parents now, we go to Senator Josh Hawley from my home state of Missouri, who joins us via telephone. Senator, good afternoon to you. Always a pleasure to have you. And I mean, isn't that, if there were as many of these vaguely discussed threats as Jen Psaki and other Democrats are listing, I mean, I would imagine if it's serious enough to have the DOJ weigh in on this, then I would imagine there are police reports that they could share with the press so we could actually see the severity of what we're dealing with, correct?
You would think. I'm just amazed, Dana, and it's good to be with you. I'm just amazed that the administration has finally found some kind of crime that it's supposed to. I mean, this is an administration that's presiding over the biggest crime surge in American history year over year. They're fine with rioting. They're fine with apparently the huge spike in homicides, violent crime. But parents, if you want to go to a school board meeting, the FBI is going to come knock on your door. I mean, this is incredibly abusive. It's blatantly an attempt to shut down taxpaying parents from speaking and expressing their views. It's very wrong.
And all of this comes from, speaking with Senator Josh Hawley, all of this comes from this letter that the National School Board Association, that they had sent to the administration begging for them to get involved. And they even cited using the Patriot Act as a way to battle this. And I guess the left previously had pretended to abhor it. Now I guess they like the Patriot Act. How would that even work? And I mean, that's pretty much opened the door for them to kind of abuse the definition of what a domestic terrorist is and isn't, has it not?
Well, it has. It sounds like surveillance. I guess now we're going to have the FBI spying on parents who have kids and are paying their taxes and want to express their views about the people they elected. Let's not forget, school board members are elected. And so now you're saying you can't go to a public meeting and express your views to school board members without what? Again, having the FBI come and knock on your door? I mean, this is really outrageous and abusive, Dana. I can't think of anything like this in American history. We've had federal law enforcement getting involved in local school board meetings in order to try and shut down speech that the president doesn't like. I mean, you talk about stepping towards authoritarianism. This is crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm going to do everything I can to try and stop it.
Well, and that's the big question, because we don't want to see it chill the speech and expression of these parents, because parents have been, it sort of reminds me, it's the same energy of the Tea Party back in 2009. It very much has that same energy. And it's even, I think, politically, more politically diverse than even the Tea Party was. Parents Defending Education, for crying out loud, has a Democrat that is heading up that group, and she is vociferously against CRT and this institutionalized Marxist racism that's masquerading as education in kids' schools. You know, in my community, where we were fighting with our town school district, some of the most vocal opposition is led by a Cuban family, yet everyone is always whitewashed as being, oh, it's only white Republicans. And yet we know how difficult it is for everybody to speak out. So we've gone from calling everyone racist to now domestic terrorist. Is that actually going to register and chill speech, or is that going to make people angrier?
Well, I hope that it makes people angry in the sense that they say, I'm not going to stand for this. I mean, this is America, after all, and we have a Constitution, we have a First Amendment, but I think the intent of it is absolutely to try and shut down speech. That's the whole purpose of it. I mean, you and I both know that if somebody comes to a school board meeting and actually engages in violence, throws a punch or whatever, or threatens violence, the local police will shut that down ASAP. We've got great local police in my state. I know we do all over the country. Like, that's not the issue. We're talking about getting the FBI involved for the purpose of intimidating people. That's what this is about. And if you look at the memorandum that the AG sent out, it doesn't just say violence. It says also potential intimidation or harassment. So, of course, they get to define what that means, the government does. You speak up against critical race theory, now you're harassing, and the FBI comes knocking on your door. That is, they're definitely trying to intimidate voters by doing this. And again, this is wrong. I think it's unconstitutional, and we've got to resist it.
Talking with Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. So how can parents, what do they do if, you know, say they go to a school board meeting, they're simply doing what every other parent does, speaking, and yes, they're angry, and they can be angry when they speak to the school board. They're justifiably angry, but speaking in a loud tone itself is not unprotected speech. So what do they do, Senator, if they actually do get that knock on the door? I mean, I think that would be terrifying for parents to deal with, especially knowing what, you know, all of the controversies and scandals with the FBI just over the past several years. What do they do if they get that knock on the door? What should they do? How should they behave? What can they do to protect themselves?
Well, I think what they need to do is go public with that information. And I'll just say, I personally would love to hear about it. If there's a parent out there who gets a call from the FBI because they go to their kid's school board meeting, they want to express a view, and they've waited, you know, they're trying to just speak up, and the FBI comes to them or intimidates them, I want to hear about it. And that's something that needs to be made public. It's something that needs to be stopped, because that is just wrong. And, you've lost the argument, can I just say, if you're Joe Biden. You know you've lost the argument when you're using the FBI to try to go after moms and dads because you don't like their speech. I mean, you talk about being somebody who's so out of touch and frankly dangerous. But that's just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. He wonders why the American people are now opposed to his policies, why they don't support what he's doing, why they think he's not up to the job. This is why. It's this kind of outrageous behavior, and we can't stand for it.
Yeah. Talking with Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. Senator, I have to ask you, have you heard of the potential conflict of interest that Merrick Garland, Attorney General Merrick Garland, may have? The New York Post has written about this. It's been published in a couple of other areas. They say he's under scrutiny after one of those groups of parents that he would like to target, Parents Defending Education, revealed that his daughter, according to New York Post, is married to the co-founder of an education company funded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg that allegedly employs critical race theory in its work. This is this Panorama Education. They also data mine students. And his daughter is married to the co-founder of that Panorama Education group. I'm curious, is that enough to hold a hearing on and get to the bottom of as to what is motivating Merrick Garland's declared war on parents?
Well, I certainly think that those are questions that need to be asked, and he is going to be before Congress, before the Senate, here in the next couple of weeks. And so, you know, he's got to be willing and ready to answer questions under oath on that subject and many more, to be honest with you, Dana, because I have to tell you, Merrick Garland came into office, and I didn't vote for him, But he came in promising that he would be non-political, that he would just go out there and follow the law. He has done anything but. This is a guy who has just turned over the keys to the Department of Justice to the political hacks in the White House, and the way in particular that he has weaponized the FBI against his political opponents, against normal everyday citizens like moms and dads. I mean, it's just inexcusable. And I'm afraid it's this guy, you know, used to be a judge, Garland did. His reputation has just been bulldozed by what he is doing at DOJ, and it deserves to be, and he deserves to be held accountable.
Now, you know, Senator, what's lost in this whole conversation and the DOJ's focus on parents is the behavior of many school boards and many school officials and their treatment of parents. You had, for instance, Terry McAuliffe, who's out there running for governor of Virginia, saying that parents don't have the right to come in and tell school boards what can or can't be taught in schools. And there's really this belief on the left and from a lot of these school officials that once a child crosses the threshold into that educational facility, quote unquote educational, that parents lose all rights and there's no personal sovereignty anymore. And that seems to be a shared belief amongst Democrats, like an unofficial platform. What is your reaction to some of these sound bites you've been hearing from these officials?
Well, I want to go back to the point that you made just a second ago, which is that these school board officials are elected officials and they're accountable to their voters. And guess what? It's the right of their voters and the right of taxpaying parents to show up and say, I disagree with you. And they don't have to use the words you want them to use. I mean, there's a huge difference between making violent threats and just saying that, you know what, I'm angry with your decisions. And if we get to the point where elected officials are able to criminalize speech they don't like, then we don't live in a free country anymore. And that's why what Biden is trying to do here is so dangerous. You talk about taking us down a path that is dangerous to the Constitution. This is it. So, you know, listen, I'm a public official. People yell at me all the time. That's part of my job. You know, I mean, people have the right to express their views. And you can't say that, oh, I don't want to hear them. I don't like the tone in which you said that. If they threaten you, if they're doing something illegal, yeah, sure, that should stop. But just because you don't like their speech doesn't mean that you can shut them down. And Biden is wrong to try to do it.
Yeah, Senator Josh Hawley, you say your people yell at you. It's part of the job, but they don't follow you in the restroom. That's not part of the process, although that's what the president has said. Your thoughts on that after that whole big bust up? I mean, I really hope that I would hate to see Democrats mainstream this, which I think they're trying to mainstream this ridiculous behavior of actually following people into these private spaces.
Yeah, with a camera, no less. I mean, following Senator Sinema into a bathroom with a camera filming, which, by the way, that's illegal. That's a violation of law. Plus just, I mean, since when is it wrong as a leftist? When can you no longer be a decent human being? I mean, why would anybody think that there's anything reasonable about following somebody into a bathroom with a camera? I mean, that's weird. It's illegal, and it's just weird. And the fact
who's responsible, not to interrupt you, but who's responsible for bringing charges against the people that committed that crime?
Well, I mean, I would think it's up to it would be up to the local police there, and I think it was at ASU, so in the Phoenix area, in Tempe, it would be up to them to bring the charges. But I know it's a violation of their state law, and certainly it isn't the state of Missouri. You can't film people in bathrooms. I mean, what's going on here? And the fact that the Democrats won't come out and say that unequivocally, say, listen, this is crazy and weird to follow people around with cameras in the bathroom. Stop doing it. They won't do it. They were trying to get a statement together, Dana, you know, classic congressman, trying to put a statement together. And they couldn't even do that because they couldn't agree, the Democrats among themselves, that this was wrong to do. I mean, it's the left is really getting weird these days. And I just think it's time for normal, decent people to say, this is crazy. It needs to stop.
I completely agree with you. And hopefully maybe that point can be made after midterms. That would be something lovely to see. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. Senator, appreciate your voice out there. Thank you so much for your time today. We'll talk again soon. God bless.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, You are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, this has to do with a Florida man who decided to get in. He made a big show of it. Like, this is the thing. He does, like, he's a personality. Florida guy's a personality. And he stages stuff like this. But I just think this is too funny. His name's Mike Busey. So he decided to get into a helicopter. He came to California, this Florida man. Came to California, got into a helicopter, got a flag, all that, and he wanted to fly over the Hollywood sign in a helicopter, okay? And then he sprayed, excrement, himself, diarrhea style, okay, on the Hollywood sign. Yeah. And there's apparently, like, video, which is hysterical. So, on the Hollywood sign. And then he came out with a press release that said, Florida man Mike Busey flew to Hollywood, California to blank on the iconic Hollywood sign. And it says, as the sun was setting upon the legendary Hollywood sign, a white helicopter with no doors and decals that said MikeBusey.com could be seen flying around dangerous low and close, blaring the national anthem from a bump box. So it was, yeah, so that's what he did. That's what. There's something poetic about it, though, I gotta say, right? You're like, Kane's disgusted, but I'm like, there's, you know, something a little poetic. I don't know. I mean, that's not the worst that any, I mean, I'm sure a lot worse happens in casting rooms, casting couches. So, just, you know. Let's see here. The, got a couple other. Let me do this one. Let me see if I can read this one in a nice way. I don't know what is wrong with Florida Man headlines today. Yesterday, they were very normal. So there are two dudes in St. Petersburg, two Florida injury law firms are having a billboard fight. And the fight is over whether or not the size of a practice impacts the quality of the representation. And it's a very bizarre double entendre kind of fight. So they've been having size matters, one from the Orlando personal injury firm Morgan & Morgan, and they are not peddling jokes. They said it's America's largest injury law firm. Size matters. So then the Berlin founder, Stephen Berlin, said, we're above that. The phallic reference is theirs. And so they decided to do, they were having a fight. I can't read all of it because some of it I don't want to have to explain so that we don't get in trouble. But anyway, it is a phallus double entendre billboard fight in Florida. God bless America, right? God bless America. So, and there are pictures too, and they're beautiful. This is just like, bigger isn't better. Better is better. Hurt on the job, call a specialist. That's one. Oh, this is too good. Let's see here. I got a couple more that you don't. Oh man, I can't do that one. Florida man rode a scooter down the turnpike. I don't even know how that happens. Like, I would be terrified actually of doing that. Let's see. A Florida man loses 770 pounds of marijuana. A Florida man gets super arrested. Miami Herald, he's called the Lizard King. And he was using his business to smuggle Florida turtles overseas. And he got wicked arrested, man. He had a lot of charges against him because he apparently had like over 30 overt acts. And so they're charging him with all kinds of stuff. His life is gone. I mean, there's like three stories that are really bad that I cannot read at all. One is so funny, it's taken everything I have to not do it. Maybe tomorrow. I just got to figure out a really ridiculous way to say it. Stay with us. We got more in store. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy. Letter P, letter M, investments.com.
I don't believe that we should turn our society into an entitlement society. I think that we should still be a compassionate, rewarding society. I think that fares best for all of us. But compassion means taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, whether they're young, whether they've had some type of a challenge in life, whether it be mental or physical. Those are responsibilities that we have, and we can all meet those responsibilities.
But it should be done voluntarily. That's the thing. I mean, even scripturally, there's opposition to that kind of statism. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And make sure you go subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. That's where I put a lot of stuff out on Substack. And you can download the Odyssey app, too, and take us wherever you want to go. I have a couple of things. The reason I got onto this, the soundbite was I saw that on social media, very briefly, but on social media yesterday, that entitlement was trending. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. Very briefly. Although I agree with Dave Chappelle that I don't care because Twitter's not a real place. I completely agree. But there were actually people who thought that there was no problem with this idea of an entitlement society. Some people said, oh, I would love to have an entitlement society. I don't really think that people exactly know what that means and what all that entails to say something like that. But, you know, that's not a good thing. And this is ultimately what a lot of this is with the administration, reconciliation, the the entitlement. I loved this piece by the Wall Street Journal, The Entitlements of U.S. Decline. This came out yesterday evening. Biden says his plans will make America great. Ask Europe how that's turned out. This is what they're talking about when they say they would like an entitlement society. Well, this is what this means. It said that Democrats are trying to find any argument that sells this $5 trillion spending plan, because that's ultimately what it is. When you talk about the entitlement living and creating this entitlement standard, the result of expanded entitlements from what we have seen in every European country that has implemented this exact same process is that you reduce incentives to work and invest, you slow economic growth, you lower living standards. And then there's less fiscal space for essential things like national defense. Bernie Sanders pitches this cradle to grave entitlement state. That's his whole thing. Now, I want to remind you that Bernie Sanders has literally never, ever held a job in the private sector. I am not exaggerating. That is God's honest truth. You can look it up on the internet. The closest that he ever came to having a job in the private sector was like back in the 70s when he edited a zine, short for like a rudimentary kind of handbill type magazine. That was it. It was supposed to be some edgy hippie thing. And that was it. He has literally always been on the public tee. He's never, ever worked in the private sector. He has no idea how to run a business. His wife mismanaged the running of a girls' school so bad the damn thing had to close. What was it, like millions of dollars in mismanagement? That was like how much she ended up losing?
Yeah, lots of millions.
all of the money that he's ever made has been off of you. He's got two homes because of the government dole. He's people in Congress, let's not forget this. They are the original welfare recipients. They're essentially on welfare. And the ones who've never worked in the private sector, they don't get to tell anybody anything. I think that if you're a lawmaker and you have never, I personally think that if you've never worked in the private sector, you should be barred from running for office. That's me. You can argue with me all day long about Dana, that's not constitutional. This is why I can't run for office, because I'm honest about it. Everyone else will blow smoke up your butt. I'll tell you, I think if you don't pay tax and if you have never worked in the private sector, you ought to be barred from running for office. The end. So this guy, it is a special distinction. When you have to meet payroll, when you have to handle employees, you learn lessons, serious, serious lessons about how the real world works, which is why so many people in business do not get on with this type of stuff. And the idea that all the people, that everybody in business is like this big corporate, that's another thing that the left has, this assumption that everyone who is a business owner, or everybody who's in business for themselves, that they are like fat cats. The majority of business owners actually are not. Over 60%, according to the Small Business Association, and this has been a trend that has been consistent for over a decade, over 60% of all job growth comes from small businesses. But people who've never been in that line of work, they don't understand. I've listening to some of these non-business people like Bernie Sanders talk about how to deal with finances. I mean, I'm stunned. It is stunning to me. But this is the kind of model that he pitches, cradle to grave. A lot of these European countries, the Wall Street Journal notes, have older populations in the United States. But that doesn't alone account for their lower labor participation rates, and yet they have much higher structural unemployment. European jobless rates, writes the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal, tend to be much higher than the U.S., especially for younger people. In 2019 alone, labor participation was 62% in the United States, 49% in Italy, 55% in France, 57% in Spain, 59% in Portugal, 61% in Germany. So they have way slower economic growth. Now, they note that in 08 and 09, when the U.S. economy was very, very slow to recover from the recession amidst a lot of the Obama talk on high taxation and a lot of uncertainty about how he's going to get Congress to pass this stuff, the GDP growth still averaged 2.3% from 2010 to 2019. It surpassed all of the countries I just listed. Now, the Democrat Bernie Sanders type approach is that, well, if you just have more generous family leave, if you encourage more women to work and you expand the workforce. But then Italy offers 22 weeks of maternity leave at 80% of previous earnings. France has 16 weeks. Spain has 16 weeks. Higher payroll taxes finance all of these benefits. And because of that, it completely eliminates the incentive to hire. And that's part of the problem. Now, the other thing, and this is a great point that Wall Street Journal notes, is that one of the little discussed secrets is from these cradle to grave welfare nations is that they're financed by the middle class because of VAT taxes, value added taxes and payroll taxes. So the combined employer-employee Social Security tax rate in Spain is 36%, 40% in Italy, 65% in France. That is insane. And the crazy thing is that these countries are just not wealthy enough to finance their entitlement system. And so this is why in the latest proposals from this administration. They have all these stupid gimmicks and tricks to try to make it make you think that, oh, no, it doesn't cost anything. It's totally paid for. So, like, for instance, they for several years of spending, they're going to have 10 years of super ridiculously high tax increases on businesses. Now, this is a $5 trillion spending deal. Wall Street Journal estimates that by taxing for 10 years, all these businesses, including the small businesses that are driving job creation, that's only going to get them $2 trillion in new income out of a $5 trillion spending proposal. If you taxed all of the rich people in the nation at an exorbitant rate, if you just confiscated all their wealth, honestly, just take all their money, you're still not covering this. You're not even still anywhere close. You're still a couple trillion off. That's insane. And now here's the other thing. So when Trump was president, what was one of the big arguments that everybody was having as it related to, especially I think Germany was the biggest example of this. It had to do with your national defense, Germany's national defense, because they and other NATO nations, they did not want to spend as much towards their own national defense as, say, the United States did. Now, this is where it starts affecting national security. NATO, in part, was created to ward off the communist threat from Russia. But when you have this huge entitlement system that you can't pay for, even at the exorbitant rate for payroll tax and VAT that you have already, you're not able to meet, you're not able to pay for like the things that are necessary, your security and the military. Only 9 European countries met their NATO pledges to spend 2% or more of their GDP on defense. Greece is the only country that spends more than 3% as the U.S. does. Germany barely spends 1.5%. Now, one of the things, and I agree with this analysis, that they note is that the U.S. was able to defeat the Soviet Empire in the 80s because of a booming economy. It spun off enough revenue to rebuild the military. Now, Biden, he doesn't want to just only shrink defense in like actual real terms. But when you create an entitlement system like this, you will be unable to finance properly building any kind of current modern force because you constantly have to keep current with technology and training, etc. China is rising. And if you are unable to finance a similar, not even a buildup, I'm not talking about an arms race. I'm just talking about keeping current. Then that becomes a massive national security issue. That's the problem. Now, in the 70s and 80s, everybody talks about Sweden. Their tax burden ended up being one of the highest in the world. Their welfare system was ridiculous. And then they had stagnation, their debt exploded, and it was crazy. And their GDP was like half of that of just an average kind of, you know, mediocre developed country. So they had to have major, major tax and spending reforms in the 90s. So that created a lot of productivity. It created a lot of job growth, incentives to hire, etc. Their disposable income increased. And so now they're doing great. Their GDP growth, Wall Street Journal says their GDP growth from 2010 to 2019 has far surpassed that of most European countries at 2.6%. So the very entitlement society that Biden is promoting, the one that Bernie Sanders basically has, you know, this is what he has pitched and they are adopting. Why would you want to do the opposite of what a booming economy requires? Why would you want to copy these ridiculous, dead European, not even a top standing in the world anymore nations? Why would you basically want to do what Sweden had to make drastic changes to dig themselves out of a hole to overcome? Why would you want to repeat their mistakes? This is so stupid.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so this is crazy. Check this out. Coronavirus claims a man's life after a hospital rejected a court order to treat him his symptoms using ivermectin. So it's always the symptoms that get you. This was a 75-year-old New York man. He died last weekend after a hospital refused to give him ivermectin in a last-ditch effort to treat the virus symptoms and save his life, according to NBC 10 in New York. The man, he was vaccinated against coronavirus. He had all of his shots, but he still caught it. And he became sick enough to be hospitalized at Rochester General Hospital. And he continued to deteriorate to the point where he was placed on a ventilator. Now, they wanted to try ivermectin. Now, they also said that, you know, it's good to treat some of the symptoms, and that's what they were looking at. It's not a cure for the virus, it treats symptoms. And so they actually had to go to court, and they got a court order to do it, and the hospital refused, and so the man is now no longer on this earth. This is how crazy this is. Inventory at U.S. car dealerships is at an all-time low. If you're looking for a car, you know that. And they said that the range is down 25% from last year at this time. Wow. I mean, they've got it measured out. I was looking at USLVs. I mean, this is crazy. Stick with us. We got a ton more, folks.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
You think this could begin before Thanksgiving?
Again, up to the FDA and CDC scientific processes, but yes, it could, and we will be ready as soon as the FDA and CDC give the go-ahead.
That's one of the Pfizer folks. That sounds like a...
That's actually White House COVID response.
Oh, wait, on the... Yes, on the stuff.
Yeah,
no, I was
on
looking
Pfizer's
at the,
request
on the
this Pfizer morning.
Pfizer's request. Thank you. Welcome back to the show. Well, I was also looking at this whole... So Project Veritas, they had dropped a new thing from Pfizer whistleblower Melissa Strickler. They want to avoid having info on fetal cells out there. So there is some nuance here that I don't think I'm going to explain, because I actually ran this down. I looked into all of this because I thought if this is ever going to be a consideration, I want to know everything that is in here. And I went and looked at this. First off, we'll hear the soundbite, and then I'll explain to you what I found when I was researching this. This is really quickly for clarification. This is the Pfizer employee in these executive emails talking about what they wanted to avoid for optics in terms of how they developed them. Listen.
But then they want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
I mean, this is pretty, they're trying to keep this secret from the public.
They don't want to stir up a mess. They don't want to have to deal with people who are upset, because I think people can use religious exemptions for it, and they don't want that. I think they want nobody to have an excuse to not get it.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes.
And they don't want the public to know that.
Yes.
And that's staggering for society because of what you said, religious exemptions.
Mm-hmm. And they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
And this could change that, because people who have religious views, that certainly changes the game, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it does. Now, I want to be really clear on this. So I went and I was looking at how they processed this and how they came up with this information for the. And my issue isn't whether or not someone's opposed to what they think, how they think it was developed or anything like that. People are going to make their own decisions, but I want to clarify at what point in the process the whole fetal cell thing comes in, because I'm with you. You guys know my views on this, but I like to be a stickler for nuance, because I think it's for debate. It's incredibly important. And so with this, when I went and I was looking at how they were testing it, and it had to do, now I know what I know and I know what I don't. Now, some of the sciencey stuff, I'm going to kind of do my best, and I'm going to kind of skim over it. So the way that it had to do with the protein spike, et cetera, but essentially it was like an old, and this is really creepy, fetal cells from like the 70s. Am I not even saying I did not even know they kept stuff that long? Dude, for real. Like, you're supposed to throw a mascara out after like 3 months. I'm not trying to like diminish it, but that's just honestly was like my first thought. I'm reading this. I was actually reading on their websites, and it was totally creepy. But it was basically from a fetal cell line from the 70s, and The fetal cells were obtained from Europe, and it was, I think, from the Netherlands, where it wasn't to where they did not have legalized abortion at the age that the fetal cells were. So the, and they didn't say it, they didn't get into this, but I was looking into it because they said it was sourced from, you know, Europe, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they didn't really have, they, at that time, they hadn't really legalized abortion for fetal cells that were, you know, at a marked age. And at, I think it was like 1971, 1972. And so there's thoughts that it was from a miscarriage, but regardless, it's still, that's too fuzzy for a lot of people, and I totally get it. But so I want to make sure that people understand that they were testing, from what I, from the way my non-science head was interpreting this, is that they were testing and processing the protein spikes against the, those, against cells, those fetal cells, to see what the reaction would be. And it wasn't that the cells themselves were incorporated into the vaccine, but they learned how to develop that, or that injection rather. It's that they learned how to develop the solution in the injection based on the testing with the fetal cells. Does that make sense? So regardless, I just to explain, it's not actually in the injection, but I can understand why people would have complete objections over that. And I would also understand why people wouldn't necessarily trust kind of the fuzzy explanation as to how those cells were obtained. I totally get that, but I just want to be clear. So that, and I could also see why they wouldn't want that out. You're having a hard enough time coercing people to take this. I can imagine they don't want to hand people any other questions. But the problem is that when you're not transparent on one thing, no one's going to believe you on anything else. And that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. So you can't really get upset about this. Like the other thing, I saw this, I read this headline just briefly yesterday. The Colorado patient that needed to get a kidney transplant, they were saying get vaccinated or get out. Now, in any other, I can understand people saying, well, you know, you want the healthiest whatever for an organ transplant. However, so you're telling someone whose tax dollars helped pay for the production of that vaccine that they cannot have, they cannot get health care? Wait a minute, I thought the left hated pre-existing conditions. Just, right? Your tax dollars helped supported that, helped pay for that vaccine. So I don't think that the government can deny it to, deny anything to anybody because of that variable. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Telling you what? It's coercion. Finland and Sweden and Denmark, they suspend Moderna because of concerns over the myocarditis. Their argument is it might be a small risk in that age group, but it's bigger than the smaller risk of the coronavirus effects in the first place. You can't say that over here, Kane. FBI might come knock on your door. Just saying. Might come knock on your door. This, a couple of other things. I'm going through my list. I have a lot of stuff here, and I'm afraid I'm actually leaving some stuff out. I wanted to play, we got time for this. This is Jen Psaki. Let me look at this. So remember when I said earlier how we have to pay for more gas now because of all the polar bears are going to die last year? So she was trying to explain high gas prices. And I just wanted, I'm just curious if you guys are as distrustful of this audio soundbite 4 as I am. Listen.
One of the greatest national security crises, the president sees, a number of other world leaders agree on that front. Certainly, we all want to keep gasoline prices low, but the threat of the crisis, the climate crisis, certainly can't wait any longer.
Hmm. It's amazing. It sounds like something that rhymes with Schmeestone might have helped you. Right? Big old oil pipeline. Sounds like that might have helped a little bit. We have to keep the gas prices low now to save the dead polar bears that died last year. The dead polar bears, to save them. Can't wait any longer.
And this is after OPEC has said, no, we're not going to increase production.
Of course not. Why? I mean, we could have increased. Right. No, this is how this administration thought. guys, we are very against the global warming and all of this, and we're very for the environment. So instead of transporting the oil that we can't stop from being drilled in safe pipelines, we're going to use more fossil fuels to transport that fossil fuel in trains. That's what they're doing. In trains. So that's what Keystone did. Yay, you save the environment.
They're all about Nord Stream, too, though.
Well, that's Russia. Russia can do what it wants because Biden's scared of Putin. Biden probably thinks he's in the White House. Here's a thought, sidebar, and I got one more thing to get into. You know how I started off the show and I was like, it's like the Truman presidency and I still cannot get over the set that he's in across the street. Like, why is he across the street in the set? Why the hell is he not in the Oval? Have you seen him in the Oval Office really a lot?
No.
I haven't either. Think about this. Kane, toss me my tinfoil hat. I'm going to need this in my life. I'm so not even messing with you right now. I should have brought it over here. This is my mistake. I didn't bring it over. It's live radio. Just bring it. Thank you. So can I have Steve, can you help a sister out here? I need some. I'm just saying. It's time for some conspiracy theory time for just a moment. Does he not know that he is not in the White House when they have him on set? Do they not know? This thing is still making noise after I stuck it on my head. Does he not know? They have this whole elaborate setup and I rarely see him in the White House. You rarely see, remember with Obama and how you would have always all these pictures, even with Trump, all these pictures, everybody wants to hang out in the White House. It's a very iconic thing, right? It's conspiracy theory time. So why do they got the president of the United States now on a set across the street? Why is he on a set across the street from the actual Oval Office? From the White House. And he's literally just on a stage. And that's where he got his shots. That's where he had meetings with leaders. You couldn't just set him up in the Oval Office. You had to go to a set to do it.
Are there a lot of stairs leading to the Oval Office?
I don't know.
Isn't that would make sense?
I mean, he's got, I mean, I guess maybe it be, he fell up the stairs sometimes.
Right.
I never seen people actually fall upstairs. Yeah. Normally it's down them, but you know,
he
with Biden.
Gravity.
Yeah. He fell, aliens, man. He fell upwards. But I'm just saying, it's a little weird to me that there's like this whole set and he's not across the street and we don't have all these pictures of people hanging out in the very iconic Oval Office. I'm just laying that out there for your consideration. Okay. That's today in conspiracy theory time. We had to share that with you. Okay, now back to normal programming. I have to put my tinfoil hat on with that because I don't want them, Kane, to steal my brainwaves when we're sharing these this valuable information. Last but not least, inflation. Do you realize that you are now paying $175 extra per month due to inflation, according to a new report out from a number of different economists? This is where it's the unofficial tax that comes in. So the chief economist at Moody's Analytics said that for households earning the U.S. median annual income of about $70,000, the current inflation rate has forced them to spend an additional $175 a month on food, fuel, and housing. That is the equivalent of a full grocery, electric, or cell phone bill. Now, this is, they're saying, oh, that's transitory, but it's running at a 30-year high, has been for months. You have 70 cargo ships still waiting to dock at the Port of Los Angeles. Nobody knows when prices are going to stabilize as a result. So they said, it's an unofficial tax. Listen, a 10-ounce bag of Lay's tater chips, and they're owned by PepsiCo, Frito-Lay, cost $3.75 in August, 50 cents more than 1 year earlier. And those bags are only half full. Y'all know that, right? They always say settling occurs. Does settling mean half of your tater chips disappearing? Because that's kind of what we interpret it as. Soda is increasing. Aldi and a number of other what they call discount chain stores. Coca-Cola cans that cost $5.75 in August, they're now 50 cents more. They're 50 cents more than they were in 2020. Everything is a lot more. Milk, coffee, everything. And
bacon.
In Yeah. And in New York, well, you're getting to My Love chicken wings. They've seen 15% increase on chicken wings, 5% on eggs, 10% on non-food related items. That's the problem. That's the tax. Inflation, how does that work? You pay more for everything, so it amounts to basically a tax.
And by the way, some families are paying more than $175.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's just averaging the $175 over
there. Yeah, it's averaging.
Group.
Definitely averaging.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. I think I'm on primetime Fox tonight. I'm not exactly sure what time, but I'll let you all know. I'll put it in the newsletter. Make sure that make sure you sign up, and I'll say something on Facebook too. So the I will talk more about this tomorrow, but I was looking at this story, CBS, and they said this 9-year-old can't return to school. She's immunocompromised, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has blocked mask mandates. She's sitting without a mask, talking to other people without a mask, and it's like, if she's that immunocompromised, keep her at home. This is, the mandates were blocked, not masks. And also, if you're wearing a mask and you think that that works and that's the context through which you're coming at this, then what does it matter if somebody else is or is not wearing a mask? You know what I'm saying? Like, how? I don't know.
Can't use logic like that, Dana.
No, you can't. You can't. I also feel like we need to show some of Hunter Biden's artwork, because apparently one of his pieces of art is going for thousands of dollars, and it looks legitimately just like the back of an envelope. And people actually can't tell the difference. So that, these are all things that we must discuss. Absolutely. So, oh, and by the way, I'll have an update on our pup Louie on Instagram. You guys know that I'm a crazy, crazy dog person. He's been going through it. He's got a terminal inoperable brain tumor, and he had a major setback. So we're just trying to keep him comfortable and all of that stuff. So we were dealing with a major setback that he had. And so he's been actually hospitalized for a few days. We're just trying to get him stabilized, because apparently he, and our vet and neurologist and everybody else, they were like, yes, he was so low on his medication that we feel comfortable in saying, let's get him stabilized. But then he apparently had a rare reaction to his phenobarbital. So anyway, that's why I haven't had time to update it on Instagram, but just to let you guys know. You guys know I'm a crazy dog person. I mean, I really don't joke when I say, like, dogs better than some people. Not you guys, but, you know, others. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Did you know that senators doing their job for the constituents is somehow corrupt? I didn't realize that, but here's Bernie Sanders.
So my concern with Mr. Manchin is not so much what his views are. I disagree with him. But it is that it is wrong. It is really not playing fair that one or two people think that they should be able to stop what 48 members of the Democratic caucus want, what the American people want, what the President of the United States wants. Okay, that would be my position.
But there's not 48.
So Senator Manchin has a right to fight for his point of view. He has not only a right to be heard, he has a right to get some compromises. He's a member of the Senate.
Except that it's not, though, the problem.
But two people do not have the right to sabotage.
There's 100 senators, not 48.
What, 48?
Actually, they do have the right, but yeah.
Yeah, they totally do have the right. Folks, that does it for us today. God bless you. Back with you tomorrow.